this Easter week, it's worth our time eavesdropping on the prayer Jesus prayed for his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. Because he knew that after the confusing and perplexing days we have just celebrated, that there would be forces seeking to scatter and destroy them, fighting without and fears within, as we sometimes say. And so he prays for them. He prays, among other things, as your Father art in me, and I am in you, may they be in us, so that the world might believe that you sent me. We hear the heart of the mystery made possible by the resurrection. I am in the Father is in me, y'all can be in us. God's life, this community of love, the love of the Father for the Son, and the Spirit, is now open to us. God's life is not one of these gated communities outside of the Father. God's life is like a roomy welcoming in, and Jesus is the door. In the memorable but kind of awkward phrase of Lutheran theologian Robert Jensen, God is participable. It's the mystery Charles Wesley was writing about in A Hymn to the Holy Spirit, when he writes that he longs to be plunged in the Godhead's deepest sea, lost in divine immensity. Plunged in the Godhead's deepest sea, the risen Jesus stands at the shoreline of God's life and says, come on in, the water is fine. It's not for our sakes alone. There's another reason Jesus wants us to be united in him as he is in the Father, so that the world might believe. Now, if you've spent any time in the Gospel of John, as I assume you have, you might have had occasion to ask, what in the world does world mean in John's Gospel? In these very verses I read, Jesus mentions the world 17 times. Those whom you gave me from the world, I am not asking on behalf of the world. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. The world has hated them because they do not belong to the world. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. What in the world does Jesus mean in my world? One of the reasons we have a difficult time getting what he means by world here is that we have an understanding of worldly things. Or worldly pleasures. Worldly things are a narrow class of things that we've learned Christians should avoid. What's interesting is that each generation seems to have its own definition of what counts as worldly things. Lots of us playing cards and going to the movie on Sundays. For that preeminent moral theologian and sometime brass band salesman, Professor Harold Hill, worldly things were playing pool, which led to trouble, trouble, trouble. For us today, it might be eating off of non-recyclable paper products, or having that extra shot of espresso in a whole milk latte. Worldly pleasures, worldly. But we know, don't we, in John's Gospel, world is a much more comprehensive category, hardly a narrow class of vices. World names all of reality oriented away from the purposes and the pleasure. It's the water we were born and we learn to swim in. It's the way things are that shapes and misshapes the way we see and live. Hardly a narrow class of vices, of things you might give up like you did in life. World means a reality we need to be drawn. And when we begin to see world this way, then we can see how it encompasses all of those forces that keep humans and creation from the flourishing that God intends. Racial division, world. Class and economic division, world. hyper-nationalism that causes us to see others as enemies of the world. Economic determinism, the way this force called the economy shapes every nook and cranny of our lives and causes us to see others and creation as commodities to be bought and sold and then used up. What? And also this. The near revulsion to anything that is weak and vulnerable. That we want to hide and keep out of sight because they remind us of the pain and fragility of human life. That's the reason when, 20 years ago, John Paul II was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, people began to ask, is he going to retire? Is he going to disappear from public life? On a trip to Poland, a reporter asked him if he was planning to retire, and he responded, there is no such thing as a Pope Emeritus. But people began to ask, what in the world is he doing? What in the world is he doing traipsing around the world with Parkinson's disease, letting the world watch him stumble to walk, letting the world hear him struggle to speak, letting the world watch him waste away? Isn't it time for him to disappear? Do we really have to watch this? That's world. But John Paul II knew better. He knew that Jesus put it here. He was no longer of the world. He had accepted that resurrection invitation. Leave world life, enter God life. And so he stayed in the game so that the world could see how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. How else would the world come to believe? I suspect he also stayed in it because he knew that we Christians needed to see that being no longer of the world, living in the ocean of God's life and love, does not mean withdrawal or disengagement. God's life, this life we enter, is not just an inviting in life, it's also a sending out life, as Jesus also prays in this very prayer. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, drawn out of the world, sent into the world. Or to stick with our ocean metaphor, it's like getting caught in the rip current of God's love. Now, like some of you, I'm from the Midwest, I'm from Indiana. When I was growing up, we didn't worry about rip currents. My North Carolina friends laugh at me whenever I tell them that our annual family vacation was to Indiana Beach, an amusement park on the shore of beautiful Lake Schaefer in northern Indiana, where 50 yards of the shoreline was sand, where the little kids could play in the water. We didn't worry about returns. So the first time after my wife and I had children, we went to a real beach in North Carolina. Saw that warning sign, warning dangerous rip currents with the little stick figures of people getting swept out into the ocean. And I saw the lifeguards, just like David Hasselhoff on that four-wheeler and with his binoculars and his flotation device and those yellow warning flags posted along the beach. I thought, what in the world are we doing? Are we really going to let our kids go in there? What if they get swept out? What if they get sent out? As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So sometimes I think churches should have yellow warning flags out front and signs that say, warning, come on in here, you're welcome in here, come meet God here, find a home in God's love in here, come on, go watch out! The rift currents of God's love are strong and you might get caught in one. And who knows where you'll end up? Who knows where you'll end up? But we do know, don't we? We'll end up among those who the world says don't matter, who the world says don't belong and should just disappear. We'll end up among My church back in Rome has a lot of small groups meeting in the spring. There are ways that we try to get people to come in here. You can meet behind this. You know, we have a lot of groups that meet at the church and some that meet in others. But this spring, we have a group that's meeting at Henderson Towers, hidden just a couple blocks from the church. Henderson Towers is a public housing facility for low-income senior citizens. And some folks in our church stepped into that, sending out their card of God. And now every Friday morning, there's a small group meeting at Henderson Tower. Half the group are members of our church, and half the group are residents of the apartment complex. And they meet together, and they study the Psalms together, and they make unlikely friendships together, and most importantly, they get to know together this sending out God who brought them to us. Because you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Our city council not long ago passed an anti-panhandling ordinance. So now in Durham, it's illegal to stand on medians or on the corners of roads and beg for food or work or for money. The sight of homeless men and women has unsettled us, and so we've decided, the world has decided, it would be better if they would just disappear, if we didn't have to see them anymore. So now if they get arrested panhandling in these places, they'll fine $250. And if they can't pay the $250, they go to jail, which means, of course, they go to jail. Well, last week there were some Christians in Durham who stepped into this current, and it sent them out to these medians and these corners where the homeless are no longer allowed to stand. And these Christians stood on these corners and they held signs that said things like, "We'll work for change," or "I was hungry and you fined me." They risked fines and arrest and even going to jail if that's where the current was taking them. Shouldn't churches that worship Jesus have caution flags and warning signs out front? "Well, come on in here, you're welcome here, but watch out! Who knows where you'll end up?" As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So I have sent them. Who in the world are them? So I have sent them. Who are they? Well, to clear up any confusion, on the evening after he was raised from the dead, Jesus appeared to the frightened and confused disciples in a closed locked room, and he changed from the third person to the second person. He looked at the frightened, confused disciples in the eyes and said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you."